Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers and fishers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Anyone who's been the victim of theft unfortunately knows the impacts that flow from it. Not just the financial ones, but also the emotional, ranging from vulnerability through to anger and anxiety about not feeling safe. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and for victims of farm crime, arguably the effects can be even greater. Not just because it may flow on to your ability to run your business, but also the isolation can make the personal impacts harder to deal with. Gary Wilson is very focused on reducing these, and that's through his role as acting inspector with the Farm Crime Coordination Unit. To discuss these effects and also strategies to help reduce farm theft, Gary joins us for this Campfire podcast. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Drew. Happy to be here.
Gary, before we delve down into trying to prevent theft and crime on farm, I understand you got a bit of an insight to farming because you grew up in regional Victoria. Whereabouts?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Mallee, grew up in Swan Hill till I was about 22 before I left. Lived in town, wasn't on the land myself, but had lots of friends at school who were. Obviously, your farming community is an important part of the local community. So grew up with an appreciation of the challenges of farm life and certainly spent a bit of time out with my friends knocking around in their land. So have an appreciation, but it's not an existence that I've lived, but certainly have an appreciation of the challenges and the lifestyle that comes with the farming community.
That's a really important appreciation because, A, you understand the community, but you also understand how farms by and large are set up. Big sheds, lots of equipment around.
Well, I certainly spent a few of my formative years playing around in those sheds and absolutely. So I immediately throw back to my memories of being there and I can picture it straight away and having recently been out onto some farms, you know, a lot of that's very much the same. So absolutely.
And Gary, you said you left that community in your early 20s. You went on and joined the police force. Recent times in the police force, what have you been focusing on?
Well, I've largely been in investigations as a detective for the bulk of my career. After an initial bedding in period where your general duties operational on the divisional van and front and centre to the community. Approximately last 10 years, I've by and large been in drug investigations in town. My usual position when I'm not occupying this role is as a detective senior sergeant at the drug squad in Melbourne. Prior to that promotion, was in charge of the highway patrol in Geelong as the senior sergeant down here for a couple of years as well.
That's a lot of experience, Gary. Now you're working in the Farm Crime Coordination Unit. I want to find out a little bit more about what that unit does. But firstly, can you paint a bit of a picture of how big an issue farm crime actually is?
Farm crime at the moment, we believe, is underreported. And that gives us a bit of a challenge in indicating exactly the scope of what it is. But what we do know is that there are crimes happening on rural communities and that they have impact to the farmer as well as to the friends, family, associates. And that's what we're trying to message here today is the importance around a bit of reporting. So that gives us a good indication of what's happening out there, but also steps people can take to maybe protect themselves from becoming a victim of crime and avoiding that mental anguish and anxiety that goes along with it.
Gary, you said there you think there's a percentage that goes unreported. What sort of stuff do you think is going unreported and why?
Well, we do understand the challenges around keeping account on livestock. We believe livestock theft is underreported, partly because of the time that it can take to recognise the loss, but also farmers not necessarily believing it's worthwhile reporting. Diesel, similarly, there's a lot of diesel theft, we believe, happening at the moment. Not all's reported because it's not always seen as a large theft in comparison with the amount of diesel being held by a farmer. We do see in the event of machinery theft that it's a bit more apparent and a bit more obvious when it's missing. So that is likely to be reported a bit more readily. But we do encourage the reporting around livestock and any diesel, essentially any activity that you believe to be suspicious and or criminal, please report it so we can get an indication of what's happening in your area.
Well, yeah, and I imagine that then comes back to resources and focusing on trends and things that you're actually seeing in the area as well.
That's exactly right. So once we know what is happening in our area and farmers are our eyes and ears to that community, they know what's out of place. You know, farmers know who lives next door and what cars they drive and who's in their community and who should be up, driving up and down a road. That's not something we're necessarily privy to. So when the farmer or a farming community let us know that somebody who doesn't normally belong there is there, we're able to divert our resources as quickly as we possibly can to that area and quite often find somebody either in the process of committing offences or certainly planning them. So there's a real partnership aspect between the farming community and police to bring that to our attention.
That's a really important point to make, that partnership aspect of it. I guess the other thing that especially city dwellers might not equate, that a theft from a farm is not just the immediate loss of the item or asset, whether it be it livestock or a piece of equipment. It then stuffs up everything downstream in terms of being able to carry on with your job.
Absolutely. So if you think in terms of your short-term impacts for a theft, if it's a machinery, then you've got to operate without that machine for a period of time or replace it. If it's livestock, you're looking at the long-term loss around not just what the income from that animal was, but if it's for breeding, then you lose all its progeny down the line and all the money that could be generated in income stream from that. So it's not as simple as one theft equates a certain dollar amount. Depending on what it is and the context of it, there can be a real onflow, as well as just your general disruption to your operation of the farm.
Arguably at the moment, Gary, that's probably even worse because supply chain issues are such a problem, particularly in terms of equipment. So once upon a time, I might be able to go and get a new piece of equipment, but at the moment, that can be blown out 12 or 18 months.
That's very true. So if you're missing a certain item of machinery, you then have to either beg, borrow or loan it from a friend, or as you say, put yourself on a list waiting for it. You might be lucky to get it sooner rather than later, but there can be that delay, and that's a real disruption to the operation of a farm.
Gary, you and your team have the unenviable task of coming into properties and seeing the after effects of thefts like this. What can be some of the short-term and long-term impacts of crime on mental health?
Anyone who's a victim of crime invariably will feel a sense of vulnerability and a sense of isolation. And that comes from having your property taken, having your property encroached upon by people who haven't been invited. And that's natural. You know, that can then lead to feeling unsafe in your own home. And that's a horrible feeling for anyone to experience. As a flow on from that, you know, the initial financial cost around replacement or loss of income can really cause financial stresses, which we all know can be a major driver to anxiety and conflict within the family and that. And so all these things in a short term have real impact on your family, on the community, and on the farmers themselves. That's just sort of short and immediate impact. But then when you start looking at long term, like I said, your residual loss of income or your immediate loss of income and how that impacts financially, then if you go by way of insurance to claim against the theft, that can increase insurance premiums. So that can cause another financial anxiety. And then from there, your long-term impacts around fear and apprehension and sense of vulnerability within your community. Farming communities can be very tight-knit, and to have any sense of vulnerability or isolation from that community can have a devastating impact on the mental health and well-being of not just the farmer, but then their family and friends and everyone who cares deeply for them.
Gary, you described that really, really well, and I'm guessing part of that's from many years of lived experience, seeing those flow-on effects.
Yeah, certainly my experience at drugs, but then I've also worked in other areas which are more victim-centric, as in victim-based crime and assaults and sexual offences and the like. And whilst the theme changes, the result is quite human. And so in that respect, it's transferable. You know, that vulnerability and a feeling of unsafe can really rattle people to their core. So it's something that we're trying to get proactive against in this role, put it in a farming context to try and get that message out that there are things you can do to hopefully prevent the crime happening in the first place. thereby leaving yourself less exposed to these sort of long-term impacts.
That leads then into the next obvious question then. So, Gary, what do you see as some of the things that primary producers can do to try and lessen the chance of this occurring and protect themselves?
So there can be some simple things that people can put in place immediately to help protect themselves. The reality is it's about as much about making yourself less attractive a proposition to theft from a criminal than would otherwise be without some aspects. So I understand in the farming community that there can be a thought that this is the way things have always been done and so that's why we'll continue to do them. But immediate action like locking gates, locking your sheds, keeping chemicals locked away. So then it just makes it that little bit more difficult. Don't leave your keys with your machinery. I understand there's some thoughts behind that around other people may want to loan them or your neighbours might need to borrow them on occasions and things like that, but it makes it easier, should I say, for an offender to consider taking those machinery. If you've got firearms, have them secured. We know that offenders will go onto farms and steal firearms, so have those secured. All these measures will help make your location and your property a less desirable prospect than it otherwise may have been. What we would also say, if you ever see anything that is suspicious or out of place, ring Crime Stoppers or 000 and let us know, because you as farmers or farming community know what looks out of place and what looks normal. So to let us know that there's potentially a car in the area driving slowly up and down the roads next to the paddocks that doesn't belong or you don't know who it belongs to, let us know and we can come out. In relation to machinery and equipment, consider engraving your license number. So put a V and then your license number after it. That enables, if that item is stolen, enables police, should they locate it somewhere else, to be able to track it back to the owner. Take photographs of your items, record serial numbers of equipment. Those sort of things give police, post an offence, an enhanced ability to attempt to locate these items and bring them back to the owner. They're sort of immediate things that can be put in place to at least make a greater chance of it not occurring, or if it does occur, for us to be able to bring them back to you. Your longer term CCTV is always a great option. Offenders, if they see or are aware of CCTV, may avoid that property because they understand there's an opportunity that they will be captured. You know, you can stick a CCTV on your home, on your sheds or on your off paddocks. If you have CCTV but you don't know necessarily how to save and capture it, even just pausing it on the people of interest and taking a photo with your phone enables that to be captured prior to it being lost, and you can produce that to your police and gives us something to work with. Speak to your neighbours, see if they've seen anything untoward or abnormal. And similarly, if you're going to be away, let people know you're going to be away, people who you trust who can keep an eye on your property. And engage in your local community groups, however that may be, down the football club or something more formalised. Discuss what you've seen, make each other aware of local issues. That can also draw back against that aspect of isolation and vulnerabilities. You get that sense of community that everyone's out looking for each other's back.
Gary, some great suggestions in there. And one of the things that popped into my mind while you were detailing some of those was a lot of this stuff now is so much more cost accessible. Photographs, everyone's got a camera in their pocket on their phone these days. I can go down to my Apple store now and I can buy trackers to stick inside my car. The CCTV stuff, you know, you can go to your local shop and buy that off the shelf pretty cheap these days. I know it's all time and cost, but it is a lot more accessible these days.
It is. And sometimes it can be a bit of an impost initially, but the safeguard against it, because you stick a sign up on your front gate to say we've got CCTV operating on this property, may just be the disincentive that you need for that offender to reconsider going onto your property and driving onto either the next one or not at all, which would be a preference. Sometimes these costs do sound prohibitive initially, but they can also significantly safeguard your property, and that's what it's about.
And in terms of safeguarding and working with the community, Gary, the Farm Crime Coordination Unit, what is their role and what triggered the creation of that unit?
So there had been previous models under Victoria Police, but this current model that we operate as was created in 2019. The unit consists of an inspector, the role that I'm performing, and a strategic analyst. And she's an expert in farming. She has links to farm property and herself. We're based out of Geelong, but we provide advice and support across the entire state. We're supported by 78 farm crime liaison officers who are positioned across the state. Those members have all been identified through their knowledge and skills in relation to abilities to support the farming community. Some have links to the land themselves. They operate within their local communities to support and provide advice to the farming sector and also engage in local community events, pressing the crime prevention model and things like that. So we get out where we can and engage at those local community events. We're trying to push that pro-reporting message, but also just to engage with farmers and their families, listen to their concerns, identify ways to address those concerns, and offer opportunities or suggestions about how they can safeguard their property against crime. So it's always better to prevent crime than to have to deal with the consequences of it later. And that's the message we try to get out.
Gary, it sounds like a substantial unit there to assist farmers preventing crime and also then, if the worst happens, deal with it. You talked about reporting. Should an incident occur, what should farmers do first?
The first option really would be to ring the police assistance line, which is 131444. So that's the number that farmers would have potentially seen on advertising where it's you need police but you don't need the sirens. That would then generate an event which results in a response from a police unit. So if they ring that, they speak to a person on the phone, outline the crime or the suspicious behaviour that they're seeing, and as I say, you'll get police attendance at your address as soon as possible. The other option is to ring Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. We'll create a file for actioning and for investigation. I know a lot of farmers are traditionalists and would like to speak to members at police stations, and we certainly don't discourage that, but there's obviously a delay in transporting yourself into town and making those reports. So whilst more than happy for people to attend and speak to their local police, the police assistance line is probably the most prudent way to go about it if things are happening urgently. In the case of a real emergency, 000 is probably the most appropriate.
If there was one thing you wanted to say to farmers, what would you want them to take away from this discussion?
So if you report anything suspicious, even if you don't think it's important, report it, because you're the eyes and ears of the community. You'll see what sticks out and what doesn't. And it may be that missing piece that we're looking for that draws a lot of loose threads together. So whilst it in and of itself might not solve the crime, it might be that missing link that we've been looking for. So reporting is really important. If farmers see anybody on their property that doesn't belong, we suggest not to approach them, whether they're illegal farmers or just people who shouldn't be there. Ring 000 and we'll come out and we'll deal with those people. We have a lot of material that we disseminate out to our farm crime liaison officers as well, including farm gate signs, which are available for farmers to go to your local police and engage, inquire about. And they can certainly speak to the farm crime coordinating unit and get that sent out. And they're a visible sign as a deterrent against crime for farmers to put on their gates. It indicates an awareness of the numbers to call, and potentially you can put on there whether you have CCTV and the like. Again, that's about as making it a disincentive to crime.
Gary, some fantastic tips in there for helping keep farming communities safe and their properties secure. Gary Wilson, Acting Inspector with the Farm Crime Coordination Unit. Thank you for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you, Drew. It's been a pleasure. And anyone who ever needs any assistance, please reach out to your local police.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.